نصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 15th of April in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 25th night that we're going through the blessed and exalted life of the eminent companion, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu. And I've reached the stage where I'm now mentioning that he's finally embracing the glorious truth. So, just to add the background, Abbas had taken him on his mule, which is the mule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as they were traveling through the Muslim ranks, they said, "There is nothing to worry about. It is only the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon his mule." But Umar radiallahu anhu spotted Abu Sufyan, and he says, "Enjoy." He goes, "Basically, you will be killed." But when they rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Take him to your tent and bring him back in the morning." So the report continues, just to give you the reference. So the narration is in Tabarani in his Kabir 8-10-15, Bayhaqi 9-118. Al-Bidayah, Volume 4, page 291. Al-Haythabi in Majma' al-Zawaid, Volume 6, page 167, comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1, page 297 of the New English Translation. Abu Dawood, number 3021-2, Sahih. Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Musannaf, 14-496, relates similar. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he continued. Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, thereupon took Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu anhu, to his tent, where he spent the night. Aye, and what a night that must have been. The next morning, they proceeded to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So adding another report with details. In Tabarani, Bayhaqi, Volume 9, page 119, Al-Bidayah, Volume 4, page 291, Fath al-Bari, Volume 8, page 4, Al-Haythami and Majma' al-Zawaid, Volume 6, page 173, comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1, page 307, and Volume 4, page 594 of the New English Translation. Urwa, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, when the Fajr Azan was called out, everyone gathered and waited for the Salat to begin. Sayyidina Abu Sufyan became alarmed, radiyallahu, and asked, "O Abbas, radiyallahu, what are your people going to do?" Abbas, radiyallahu, replied, "The Muslims are awaiting the arrival of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He then took Abu Sufyan along with him outside. When Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu saw the Muslims, he asked, "Do they do anything that the Messenger of Allah commands them?" Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Yes," came the reply. Abbas added radiyallahu anhu, "They will even stop eating and drinking if he commands them." Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu thereupon said, "Then ask him if he will forgive his people." Abbas radiyallahu anhu then took him to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is another addition. So basically the azan's called out. Abu Sufyan's never been in that environment. So obviously it's like battle stations. People rushing to do wudu, offering the sunnah. So he's panicking. He goes, "What are they doing?" And he goes, "They're waiting for the Prophet to arrive, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And then when Abu Sufyan observes their discipline, he says, "Will they do anything the Prophet asks them?" Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes, "Yes, even if he tells them stop eating and drinking, they'll do this." Then what did he say? Look how intelligent he was. "Ask him to forgive his people." Meaning we've caused him great harm. And if you say they will listen to everything he says, ask him to forgive his people. Abbas then took him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another report, again, a different chain. In Ibn Abi Shaybah, Kanz al-Umal, Volume 5, page 300, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 4, page 593 of the New English Translation, Abu Sufyan said, radiyallahu, "To this day, I have never seen such discipline from a nation who have been gathered together from such varying backgrounds. Neither are the nobles of Persia, nor the long-established Romans as well disciplined as this." He then turned to Abbas and said, Radiyallahu, O Abu Fadl, Radiyallahu, your nephew has certainly founded a great kingdom. Abbas replied, it is not a kingdom, it is prophethood, O Abu Sufyan. So this has another detail. So when he sees the discipline, Abu Sufyan, he praises the Muslims. He says, I've been in the presence of the Persians and the Romans, but I've never seen such discipline like this. And then he says, what a great kingdom your nephew has established. And he reminded him, because it's not a kingdom, this is prophethood. Oh, Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu. Another report adding further details. In Tabarani, Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 6, page 164, comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 593-4 of the New English Translation. Our beloved mother, Sayyidah Maymuna, radiyallahu, she relates, when the Messenger of Allah got up to perform wudu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, would compete with each other to acquire the wudu water and rub it upon their faces. To this, Abu Sufyan was shocked. And he said, O Abu Fadl, radiyallahu anhu, your nephew has certainly founded a great kingdom. To which he replied, it is not kingdom, but this is prophethood. And it is this that the people are so zealous about, O Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu. So he's noticed something else. When they were doing, when the Prophet was doing wudu, they were weird, they wouldn't even let the water touch the ground. Imagine. So somebody was pouring the water for him. Imagine how he stopped the water from touching the ground. So he's seeing this and he's thinking, what are they doing now? And he's, they're wiping it over their faces, and he goes, what? And he goes, this is not kingdom, this is prophethood. And they all want to get the blessings of Abu Sufyan. So note, these are important details. Now what do you notice? This is actually a miracle of the Muslims. If you look at any military training, depending upon the numbers, how difficult is it to keep order in the ranks? You see the military parades going past. They have to train, and they train to move their legs together, move their arms together. You notice. But how long is that training needed for them to do that? And yet, when you look at the glorious scene, for instance, around the Holy Kaaba, how quickly do people get up to stay and to make the rows? Because this is a miracle. Because who's trained the Muslims? Especially during Hajj. You see millions of people, and within what? A few seconds, they're neatly in circular around the Holy Kaaba. And this is a sign of the glorious deed. But we're so used to it, we don't even realize. Imagine if you had to do the outside of Islam. You got a million people, put them all in ranks. How long will it take? Right? You think, what's happening? Yeah, all over the place. And yet, this is why congregational prayer is given to us. Why? Because if you can discipline yourself, your bodies, in an outward manner, you can surely discipline yourself inwardly as well. So this is what Abu Sufyan was observing. But he noticed the deep love the companions had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he kept on saying, this is kingship. He goes, it's not kingship. This is prophethood. Return to the main report. Abdullah ibn Abbas continued, radiyallahu anhu, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw Abu Sufyan, so imagine Abu Sufyan is thinking, after seeing this wonderful scene, he still doesn't know his own fate, because maybe I will be killed now. When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu anhu, he said, shame on you, O Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu anhu, has the time not come for you to testify that there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abu Sufyan replied, radiyallahu anhu, may my parents be sacrificed for you. You are so noble, lenient, and good towards relatives. I am now certainly convinced that had there been any deity besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would surely be of some help to me. The Messenger of Allah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shame on you, O Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu anhu, has the time not come for you to testify that I am indeed the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So stop in the report. So he's approached, and straight away he breathes a sigh of relief. Why? Because the Prophet is not giving orders to execute. All he asks him, and he said, shame on you. Now why did he say shame on you? I've been through the list. How many signs do you want? Because you've seen the signs for 20 years. He goes, basically, isn't it time to say La ilaha illallah? And look at his response. He didn't just say yes. He goes, may my parents be sacrificed for you. He goes, you are so noble, lenient, good towards family. He goes, if there was any other gods, they would have helped me. The proof is they didn't. So definitely, La ilaha illallah. Then the Prophet deliberately split it. Look how interesting. He didn't give him the full shahada. Then he gave the second part of the shahada. He goes, shame on you, Abu Sufyan. You now testify I am the messenger of Allah. That Allah alayhi sallam. This was the moment of truth for Abu Sufyan. He was a proud leader of the Quraysh. An eminent one from the elite. A descendant of Umayyah. He had regarded himself as second to nobody in authority. He was virtually the ruler of Makkah. Among all Makkans held in respect and reverence. Now he stood like a humble supplicant before the greatest of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom he had opposed for so many years. To the report. And Tabarani in his Kabir, 8-10 to 15, Bayhaqi 9-118, Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 291, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawai, volume 6, page 167, comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 297 of the New English Translation, Abu Dawood, number 3021-2, Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf, 14-496, Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Alayhi states Hassan in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud number 3021 relates similar. Abdullah ibn Abbas relates further. Abu Sufyan replied, radiyallahu, may my parents be sacrificed for you. You are so noble, lenient and good towards relatives. Until now, I have always had reservations about this. Abbas thereupon exploded, radiyallahu, and said, shame on you, O Abu Sufyan. Embrace Islam and testify before you are executed. Abu Sufyan said, Muhammad Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the report. So now if you stop there, what would you be excused to think? You would be excused to think that this was just a flippant statement by Abu Sufyan. Radiyallahu. Which of course would be correct. However, shortly after this incident, Iman was firmly planted in this most noble man's heart, which I'll mention at the relevant time. So look how interesting. Why? Because if he testified to Muhammad Rasulullah, he's lost his authority. You understand? That was why he was so reserved about this. Because I've always had doubts about this. And Abbas then said, say it, otherwise woman is waiting. Right, your head's coming off. He goes, I bear witness Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened? In Abu Dawood, number 3021, Tabarani, Bayhaqi, volume 9, page 119, Fath al-Bari, volume 8, page 4, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 173, comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 308 of the New English Translation, Shaykh al-Bani, rahmatullah alayhi, says Hassan in Sahih, Sunan Abu Dawood, number 3021. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates. Abbas thereupon said, radiyallahu, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu, he enjoys privilege. Thus allow him some privilege. He thereupon said his famous words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever enters the dwelling of Abu Sufyan shall be safe, radiyallahu. Whoever locks his door will be safe. Whoever enters the masjid shall also be safe. In another report, there's an addition. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever enters the dwelling of Abu Sufyan will be safe. Whoever enters the house of Hakim ibn Hizam will also be safe. Radiyallahu. He said this for Abu Sufyan's dwelling was in the upper end of Makkah, and the dwelling of Hakim ibn Hizam was in the lower end of Makkah. Radiyallahu. This is related by Sayyidina Urwa rahmatullahi. So let's look at this. So when he made that statement, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, I don't accept your shahada? Have you understood? Right? Because you just said it to save your life. Did the Prophet say that? No. So what does that teach you? Do you look into people's hearts? You know, people, sometimes you get people saying shahada, oh no, but he didn't mean it. Because he's after our meat and chapatis. Right? And then you say, did the Prophet say to Abu Sufyan, you only said that to save your life? Nothing. Abbas, did he himself say, well, I don't think that's a genuine shahada. Straight away, he's now asking for privilege. Because Abu Sufyan wants some privilege. Could you give him some privilege? And then the Prophet made those very interesting statements. He goes, whoever enters Abu Sufyan's dwelling or locks his door, enters the masjid, shall be safe. But what does that mean? The report from Urwa explains it. Makkah, there's an upper end to Makkah in which people enter, and there's a lower end. The upper end of Makkah is where Abu Sufyan's house was. So if you come through that way, the dwelling of Abu Sufyan is the first. If you come through the lower end, Hakim ibn Hizam, Khadija's nephew's dwelling. Therefore, the Prophet gave both those entrances safety. And of course, Masjid al-Haram. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he continued with the men in another report. In Bayhaqi ibn Ishaq ibn Kathir Sira, volume 3, page 394 of the English translation. When the Messenger of Allah told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever enters Abu Sufyan's dwelling is safe, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan said, what if my dwelling is not large enough? Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and whoever enters the Kaaba is safe. Abu Sufyan again asked, radiyallahu anhu, what if the Kaaba is not large enough? Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever enters the masjid, its sanctuary, shall be safe. Abu Sufyan then asked, what if the masjid sanctuary is not large enough? Then the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever locks his own door will be safe. Abu Sufyan thereupon said, then there is sufficient space. Ya Rasulullah. Now this is the problem. People in the hadith, and what goes to their head straight away? Oh, where's the honor for Abu Sufyan? Just go to the Kaaba. Go into your own house. What's the big deal about going to Abu Sufyan's house? Right? Abu Sufyan was asking these questions. The first place the Prophet mentioned was Abu Sufyan's house. Who asked? Abu Sufyan, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, how can they all fit into my house? Then the Prophet added the Kaaba. Look how interesting. Abu Sufyan's house first, then the Kaaba. Isn't that honor? Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, the Kaaba, you know, inside the Kaaba, he goes, the sanctuary as well. Then he goes, still. Then the Prophet said, if you stay in your own door, in your own dwelling, lock the door, you're safe. Then Abu Sufyan said, now there's plenty. In other words, they're all safe. But without this report in Bayhaqi, people just look at it and they think, well, this was a joke from the Prophet. He was joking. No, therefore, the honor for Abu Sufyan, why? It was only upon his earnest requests that the other areas were made places of refuge for the Quraysh. He asked for that. The Prophet didn't automatically say it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not Abbas asked, please give him some privilege, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So returning to the report, in Ibn Asaq, Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 295, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 299 of the New English Translation. As Abu Sufyan was leaving, the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Abbas, restrain him in the valley at the point where the mountain protrudes so that he may witness the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala marching by. He did as instructed. So what's the scene so far? Abu Sufyan's become a Muslim. The Prophet tells Abbas, take him back to Makkah. But don't take him straight back. Go to the mountain pass, a high place, and he will see the armies of Allah going past. Have you understood? He wanted to show the power of the Muslims to Abu Sufyan radiyallahu, and Abbas was told to keep an eye on him. Abbas radiyallahu then left the main track and took Abu Sufyan to the point where the valley narrowed as the mountain protruded. When Abbas held Abu Sufyan at this point, Abu Sufyan protested, is this betrayal, O family of Hashim? Abbas replied, verily the people of prophethood never betray. I have brought you here for a reason. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, then why did you not do this at the beginning and inform me that you needed to bring me here? This would have put me at ease. Abbas replied, it did not occur to me that you would look at it this way. So what's happened? So Abu Sufyan's thinking, he's going to execute me. He's took me off the path. He's what are you taking me down here for? And he goes, are you betraying? This is the family of Hashim betraying? And what did Abbas say? Because the family of the Prophet never betray. Because I brought you here for a reason. Because then why did you tell me that? You just taking me on a side road. And he goes, oh, I didn't think you were thinking like this. The report continues. So the reference for this is Tabarani in his Kabir 8-1015, Bayhaqi 9-118, Al-Bidayah volume 4, page 291, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid volume 6, page 167, comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayat al-Sahaba volume 1, page 297 of the New English Translation, Abu Dawud number 3021-2, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Hassan in Sahih Sunan Abu Dawud number 3021. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates radiyallahu anhu, the various tribes then began passing by him, each bearing their flags. When a tribe passed, Abu Sufyan asked, who are they, O Abbas? Who is this tribe with the flag? Abbas replied, radiyallahu anhu, they are the Banu Sulaym tribe. Abu Sufyan thereupon said, radiyallahu anhu, what have I got to do with Banu Sulaym? Why are they thus now marching against us? Then another tribe passed with the flag. Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu asked, who are they, O Abbas? Abbas informed him that these were the Muzayna tribe. Abu Sufyan said the same. What have I got to do with the Muzayna tribe? Why are they just coming to march against us? This continued to all the tribes passed. Each time a tribe passed, Abu Sufyan asked, who are they, O Abbas? When informed, Abu Sufyan said the same. In another report, adding details, in Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 295, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 301-2 of the New English Translation. Each tribe as it passed by Abu Sufyan, they would loudly utter takbir 3 times. So they noticed Abu Sufyan. So as they were going past, they would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Making Abu Sufyan shake. Thereafter came the Kinana tribe that consisted of the Banu Layth, the Banu Damra and the Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr families. They numbered 200. And Abu Waqid Laythi radiyallahu anhu bore their flag. They also cried out, Allahu Akbar, 3 times as they passed by Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan asked, who are they? Abbas replied, the Banu Bakr tribe. Those were allied with the believers and were the cause of the treaty to be terminated. Abu Sufyan said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are indeed a tribe of misfortune. It is because of them that Muhammad is now attacking us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they, the Quraysh, did not consult with me. And I had no knowledge of the matter. When the news of what happened reached me, I was disgusted. Nevertheless, the matter was predestined. Abbas responded, radiyallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined good in this offensive of his messenger against you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you all enter the fold of Islam, O Abu Sufyan. So now let's explain this. Who's this tribe that went past that caused Abu Sufyan to get hurt? The Banu Bakr. Who were the Banu Bakr? The Banu Bakr were those who had aligned themselves with the Muslims. The Khuza'a. The Banu Bakr had aligned themselves with who? The unbelievers. Now the Banu Bakr, they're Muslims. So Abu Sufyan is thinking, he goes, this is the tribe that's causing, because first puts me in it, and now they're marching. So basically he got hurt over that. Abbas said to him, this is good for you, O Abu Sufyan. Through them, Allah Ta'ala has now made a way out for your tribe to embrace Islam. Returning to the main report, Abdullah ibn Abbas continued. Eventually the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by with a large group that included the Muhajirin and the Ansar. Nothing but the whites of their eyes were visible. So what's happened now? Whose turn is it? It's the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who's with him? The top Sahaba. And they were fully armored. They could only see the whites of their eyes. In another report it is related. In Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 295. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 302-3 of the New English Translation. Eventually the messenger of Allah passed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, riding his camel, Qaswa. And he was between Abu Bakr and Usayd ibn Hudayr, and he was speaking to both of them. So stop in the report. So he's riding, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his right is Abu Bakr. To his left is Usayd ibn Hudayr. And he's talking to them. Umar was also covered in armor, and he was busy arranging the lines of the army with his booming voice. Abu Sufyan then asked, "Oh Abu Fadl, who is that man ordering?" Abbas replied, "Umar ibn al-Khattab." Abu Sufyan thereupon said, "The Banu Adi were few in number. They possess little honor. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have now assumed great prominence." Abbas replied, "Radiyallahu, O Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates whoever he wills as he wills. Umar radiyallahu is indeed amongst those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Islam has elevated." So what do you notice about each response of Abu Sufyan? He's tribalistic. He's still got that mentality. "I'm the chief of the Sayyid clan, the Quraysh. All about tribes, you know." And each and every time Abbas is trying to correct him, "Nothing to do with this, his prophethood. Nothing to do with his prophethood." Even when Umar, he goes, "Who's that?" Because he's covered in armor. He goes, "Who's that with a loud voice?" It's Umar. He goes straight to the tribe again. He goes, "The Banu Adi, i.e. Umar's tribe, they were small. They had very little honor. But now they've been given great honor." And Abbas said, "Allah Ta'ala has done this. And Umar is amongst those whom Allah Ta'ala has elevated." Or Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu. So now what do you notice? This was part of his training. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that he had this in his heart. So immediately, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He goes, "Abbas," because they were very close in Jahiliyyah as well. He goes, "Take him and let him observe the armies of Allah," meaning get rid of this thing in his heart. Abbas understood. So, and look how well versed Abbas was with the tribes. How did he know all these tribes? Because he's the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So note straight away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was eradicating these things from the heart of Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. And to finish, in Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 170, he comments upon the chain of narrators. Hayada Sahaba, volume 1, page 305 of the New English Translation. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, Abu Sufyan said, "Subhanallah, who are these, O Abbas?" Radiyallahu. He replied, "This is the messenger of Allah," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "with the Muhajirin and the Ansar," radiyallahu ta'ala. Abu Sufyan thereupon testified, "None has the power or capacity to resist them. O Abu Fadl, radiyallahu, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the empire of your nephew has certainly become enormous." Abbas replied, "O Abu Sufyan, it is prophethood." Abu Sufyan acknowledged this. He said, "Now that you mention it, it is." In a slightly different wording, he said, Abu Sufyan said, "I have seen the kingdom of Kisra and the kingdom of Caesar, but I have never seen anything like the kingdom of your nephew." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas replied, "It is not kingdom, it is prophethood, O Abu Sufyan." So now note, a slight change has happened. When he reminds him this time, Abu Sufyan says, "Now that you mention it," meaning, yes, his prophethood. You can see that he's correcting it. Right? So why? Because it's very hard to get this out of people's hearts. In fact, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "This will never come out of my ummah." They'll be boasting about their lineage. Because this is something that's so badly ingrained in people. He said, "It will never leave my ummah." There will always be people boasting about their lineage. Despite the fact the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You're all made from dust. Adam was made from dust. Inna mathala Isa inda Allahi ka mathali Adam khalaqahu min turabi thumma qala lahu kun fayakun." Isa is like Adam in the sight of Allah. He created him of dust. Allah Ta'ala tells you that clearly in the Quran. Dust. What are you proud about? Imagine somebody gets dust and he goes, "Look at that. I'm from that." You think, go and call psychiatric department. Why is he boasting about dust? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is telling you, you're made from dust. What are you boasting about? And that's all about lineage. Imagine. But then he was now, and then eventually he said, no, it is his prophethood, his prophethood. Abbas was correcting him again and again, radiyallahu. So note, this was the perfect teaching, the perfect teacher taking out the qualities of these noble souls. Because he was the best teacher, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were the best students. But note how quickly it was going. You know, you get this impression that he was, you know, but eventually it's coming out now. Each tribe that went past, subhanAllah. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu now embracing Islam. And then I mentioned how the Prophet instructed Abbas to make him observe the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was the wisdom of this? And the wisdom obviously was twofold. One was to take away his thought of probably challenging the Muslims with another force, which was impossible, and also to eradicate tribalism from his heart. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhanallahi rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasal haqq wa wasal sabr sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.